All right, guys. Thanks for coming this morning. Woke up with about half a voice, so I'm going to croak through this, so I'll need your help. I'm not as loud as I normally am, so you could kind of key in. Acts 19 is what we're going to be looking at this morning. I'll go ahead and just hand out all the scriptures before I get started. Lem, can you get our main text, Acts 19, 11 to 17? Skyler, Acts 19, 11. Preston, Acts 19, 13 to 14. Tony, Acts 19, 15. Ayel, Acts 19, 16. Daniel, can you get 2 Kings 4, 31? Jacob, can you get Acts 19, 17? David, Matthew 17, 19. Sam, Matthew 17, 21. Kenny, Luke 10, 17 to 18. And that'll do it for this morning. One of the most profound conversations I had with Pastor Greg was when I was on staff as concert director. And I've told this story before, but I've never developed it into a lesson. But I was about 4 months into being on staff in Prescott here, and Pastor Greg took me out for a coffee and asked me point blank. He said, "Stephen, can you point to one area of your life where there's a supernatural dimension at work?" And that was my answer. I couldn't think of one thing. I could organize outreaches. I could fill out permits. I could design or have somebody design flyers. I could do a lot of administration work. I knew that the technical side of being involved in ministry and being a concert director, but I could not point to one area of my life where I had personally contended for and developed a supernatural dimension. And that was actually a very, very, very healthy conversation. And Pastor Greg is trying to get me to see, do you have power beyond yourself? And that's kind of what I want to look at this morning. The greatest need in every disciple's life, and the thing that every disciple should be contending for now, is we should all be developing a supernatural dimension in our ministry. And I want to look at a lesson this morning entitled Painful Exposure out of Acts 19, 11 to 17. Go ahead and get that.
Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified.
Okay, let's look at painful exposure. First, I want to look at the missing dimension. There are some ministry realities we all need to consider. First of all, understand that ministry, it takes hard work. And this is true not only of ministry, but of life in general. You have to, you know, think about in ministry the various things disciples have to do and be responsible for. You have to plan outreaches. You have to set up equipment. You have to organize with different people in the church. Are you available to help? Can you do this? Can you do that? We have to practice. We have to fill out permits. We have to labor. And this is true of ministry. It takes work. Ministry, it also requires dedication and commitment. Faithfulness is a prerequisite for ministry. Can you show up on time? Can you show up at all? Can you show up when you're scheduled? Our church would not function without faithful, dependable people willing to labor. Our church would not function if it weren't for faithful people willing to cover, willing to say, you know what, I'm already doing a lot of things, but because this person skipped out or isn't there for one reason or another, I'll fill in the gaps. But understand, ministry at its core is not mechanical, it's supernatural. This is the reality. Labor and hard work, it's not automatically rewarded with victory and breakthrough. And this can be frustrating, especially in ministry. I'm doing all the right things. I'm laboring in all the right arenas, but I still don't have a breakthrough. I still don't have victory. This is incredibly frustrating, doing everything right and not seeing what we want. And our text shows us what was happening was far beyond just the natural. You go take a dirty Kleenex and see if that heals anybody. No, don't do that. Don't. But this is the point. Read for me Acts 19:11.
God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles.
And then can you read verse 12 as well?
When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled.
So God, in this text, shows us that he is at work in Paul's ministry beyond just Paul doing all the right things. It was more than simply try hard, work harder, be better. It was supernatural. The problem is men can approach ministry only in the natural. The mistake, first of all, is that we can think our efforts alone equal results. If I have all the right marketing, if I have enough charisma and people skills and personality, if I have the right analytics, and if I have all of these right things in place, if I have better equipment, if I have enough volunteers, then surely it's gonna go well. Surely I'm gonna have breakthrough. That's the first mistake, that our efforts alone equal results. The second mistake is a formula-based ministry. I did what Pastor said. Pastor said, do it this way. I did it, and still nothing really happened. I can remember in 29, you know, I'm there preaching, and at one point, I can't remember how far I had been there in the church, but I asked one of the disciples to get me a chair so that I can pray for somebody who had a bad back. And the guy says, wait, I've got a special chair. I'm like, well, all I need is a chair, like four legs. That's all I'm really after. He's like, no, we've got a special chair. Evangelist Dennis Wright used this when he came and did a revival for us. And so this is the only one that we use. And I'm like, okay, we're not Catholic. Like, it's not like the holy chair of Antioch. You know, I'm like, all I need is a chair. But this is how people can think. It's a formula-based approach. I held my hand in just the right way. I said all the right words, right? They said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. So we name the name of Jesus. And we even named the name of Paul. If we thought of any other names, we probably would have named them too, right? But this is a formula-based mentality. The third mistake is basing ministry on information only. If I have enough notes, if I have enough spreadsheets and documents, if I know enough tips and tricks, then I'll be effective. But many men can approach ministry in this way. If I just know enough, if I just learn enough, then I'll be effective. I could have saved my voice and sent you all the notes this morning and stayed in bed. But the reality of ministry, the reality of being effective, is it requires more than information. And then also, mechanics of ministry has the ability to hide and mask what's missing inside of disciples. The men in our story, in many ways, were church kids. The Bible tells us the seven sons of Sceva, Jewish high priest or a Jewish chief priest. This is one of the realities of being born and raised in church and amongst our fellowship, is you can function for a long time without a personal supernatural dimension. And I'm not picking on anybody. I was asked to come on staff in Prescott as a concert director, and it wasn't until 4 months later, Pastor Greg's like, there's something missing in you. I was like, what? But I was the creme de la creme. You picked me over all the other schmucks. But there was something missing in me. Oh, I could vacuum out a van like nobody's business. I could organize an outreach, but there was something missing. And so we're not talking about living as a hypocrite. That's a different lesson, a different sermon altogether. Not talking about being fake. Good men that are saved, right with God, living for Jesus, and yet there can still be something missing in you. Good intentioned men who love God, and yet you can still be missing a supernatural dimension. Our church, in many ways, is a machine. Many people involved, many different ministries, and it's under the umbrella of the corporate body of Christ. What is missing in a man can be hidden. It can be overlooked. Also, ministry has a way of bringing to light what's in our hearts. Ministry has a way of showing us what's missing. You know, in ministry, you will face problems and circumstances that simply saying the right words, doing the right things, it won't be enough. Read for me Acts 19, 13 to 14.
Oh, 13 and 14. Then some ignorant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva and a Jewish chief who did so.
So here, I don't know if these seven sons had ever experienced anything like this or seen anything like this. And that's a reality for a lot of ministry, is you will be doing things that you've never done before. You'll face demons, you'll face problems and situations that you've never seen before. And this is what these men experience. The expectation, and we'll lay this out, the expectation is not that for every man here this morning, that every area of your life, the supernatural should be at work, but there should be at least one area of the supernatural. We're not expecting that you guys have the full entire package and you're just floating 6 inches off the ground at all times. But there should be something at work in your life. There should be something of the supernatural present and active and visible at work in your life. So let's look secondly then at painful exposure. Here's what happens in our text. What is lacking in a disciple will eventually be exposed. This is the result of a missing supernatural dimension. Number one, what is missing in a disciple, it will become obvious. Acts 19:15.
But the evil spirit retorted, "I know and recognize and acknowledge Jesus, and I know about Paul, but as for you, who are you?"
Who are you? Who? That would not be a very comfortable situation. Like, we're going to cast out this demon, and the demon says, "Who are you?" It's like, why is this thing talking to me now? Great. But it became obvious. This is what happens in our text. And then also, Pastor Greg has said over and over again, ministry magnifies. If there is no supernatural breakthrough dimension or power in your life today, ministry doesn't magically take that away. Ministry doesn't magically fix that problem. Rather, problems and situations that occur in your life in ministry, now they become more obvious. It's like if you have financial problems today, ministry doesn't fix your finances down the road. If you have a lack of dominion or people skills today, ministry doesn't automatically make you have dominion. If you have a lack of fruitfulness this morning, when you get out on the field and you don't have three vanloads of people ready to outreach with you, and it's just you and your wife, and you can't get somebody saved, there's a lack of fruitfulness, that'll be obvious when you get out in ministry, because ministry, it magnifies. These seven sons were not exposed until they stepped into an arena where they were challenged. When things are easy, when you're in the well-oiled machine of Prescott, things kind of, things are just working. This morning, guarantee you, Sunday morning service will work unless the power goes out. It's just going to go. Whether the majority of us are there or not, service will go on. But when you're pioneering, when you're by yourself, you better have a supernatural dimension that can overcome some of those factors. Then also we need to understand exposure is not comfortable. Read for me Acts 19:16.
Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered.
Seven grown men beat up by one dude to the point where they were stripped naked and ran out of the house. I don't know if that's a normal occurrence for you guys, but first of all, this would have been humbling. This would have been a wounding of the pride. Our text, these men, they're stripped naked, run out of the house. This would have humbled them a little bit. This is the nature of man. We don't like our weaknesses being exposed. Maybe some of you do, like you're a glutton for punishment. But for the most part, as men, we don't like our weaknesses being exposed. We don't like a light shining on areas that we lack. Up until my conversation with Pastor Greg, I thought I was doing great. I thought, man, I've got it together. And then he shined a little bit of light. He exposed some things in my own heart. And for many men, that is a terrifying thing. We don't like being humbled. Second thing that can happen in exposure is it can spin you out. How come it didn't work? Why was there no fruit? Why do we have no visitors? I've seen this in men. An outreach didn't work. A ministry venture ended badly or unexpectedly. There was an experience of setback or reversal, and I've seen men spin out completely. They can back out of all ministry. They can leave ministry altogether, develop a bad attitude, blame God for not doing enough to help them when they went into it without a supernatural dimension to begin with. Men can get spun out. Thirdly, we can run from our own calling. Here's the problem. We can come to conclusions about God and ministry. We can blame the methodology of the church and the fellowship. We can come to conclusions like it doesn't work, or it doesn't work here, or it doesn't work with me. Maybe I'm not called. Maybe God doesn't want to use my life anymore. Right? These are ultimate things. These are ultimate conclusions. The seven sons, we never hear from them again. We never see them do anything for God ever again. They could have been powerfully used. God could have powerfully helped them. They were embarrassed, frustrated, humiliated. We can learn to settle. We can be unaware that something is missing inside. 2 Kings 4:31.
Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child. There was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him, told him, saying, "The child has not awakened."
So, was there something missing in Elisha? Was there something missing in the staff? Was the boy not full of faith enough to be raised from the dead? No, something was missing in Gehazi. He came to conclusions. I did the mechanic thing. I did the laying on of the staff. Brings the staff back. It's broken. It didn't work. The way you discipled me, Elisha, it was garbage. Didn't work at all. When in fact there was something missing in his heart. So painful exposure this morning, it's actually good for you. It's God trying to help you. God does not want you to function in ministry on your own. This is the hope this morning. The good news is that if there is a lack, if there is something missing in your life, that's fixable, that's changeable. Secondly, being exposed, it forces us to examine ourselves. As a disciple, you have to learn how to assess where you're at in life, where you're at in ministry. Learn to ask the question, why am I not personally fruitful? On outreach, why can't I get anyone saved? And if I do get them saved, why is it I never hear from them again? Why do I have no lasting fruit in my life? People don't respond when I preach or when I pull an altar call. I've never seen someone healed after I pray with them. Why? Why are my finances a wreck? Why are all my relationships a struggle? Why do I still struggle with carnality and flesh or have a lack of dominion? As a disciple, these are all questions you should be asking yourself now. And a lack of supernatural power and dominion, it affects more than just you. This tormented and possessed man was not changed after this situation. Think about it. Because something was missing in these men, other people's lives were hurt. I see today, it seemed, today the approach can sometimes be, it's just another outreach. It's just another 180. It's just another service. But really, it's people's lives. The devil has people bound and addicted and tormented and broken. You guys are the answer. You're the answer for what they need. Oh, there'll be another guy. I had a conversation with somebody one time, and I challenged him on whether or not he was still called to preach, because I understood that he was, some time ago. And he said, there'll be somebody else. But what if not? If you're lacking a supernatural dimension of power in your own life and ministry this morning, other people depend on that power so they can be delivered. So let's look at Acts 19:17.
This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified.
So discipleship in many ways is personal, but the outflow of discipleship, it impacts people. I can remember a conversation I had with Pastor Greg, another conversation later. I was still concert director. I had lots of conversations with Pastor Greg, and they're very healthy for me. But I dropped the ball on an outreach. He had asked me to organize something. Remember, I was really good at organizing, and I didn't in this particular outreach. And he said to me, after he corrected me and helped my thinking, he said, "Stephen, today it's planning and organizing an outreach, but someday it's going to be people's lives." That's how important this is. So let's look at contending for a supernatural dimension. The answer to a missing dimension when we are painfully exposed is we must contend for the supernatural. Mechanics are only one part of discipleship. Because like we've said, ministry is supernatural. We need more than great flyers. We need more than great banners, more advertisement. We need more than just information or techniques or training. All of these things are important, and they should be in place. You know, if you're having an outreach and you have not outreached for the outreach, you haven't handed out a single flyer, there's not a single banner up, people don't even know the event's happening, you can't blame the devil if nobody shows up. You believe in magic. How come no visitors showed up? Oh, it's the devil coming against our ministry. Well, no, you started handing out flyers 20 minutes before the event started. Like, that's probably why. Anyway, mechanics are only one part of it. You have to have a supernatural dimension also. This is personal for every man. I can't come up to you and tell you, this is where you're lacking, this is what's missing. You have to go to God with that. Matthew 17:19.
Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?"
So here you have now other men that are painfully exposed. How embarrassing would that be? Crowd of people, a father with a son who's possessed. Please pray for my son. He needs to be healed and delivered. These disciples, they pray. Nothing happens. That would have been humbling to the pride, wouldn't it? It would have been like, man, now there's something missing. They could have gone on from that and said, whatever. Those people are dirtbags. They don't have any faith. That city's too hard. Whatever reason. Well, what did they do? They went to Jesus. They went to their pastor. And they said, why? Why didn't it work? They said, what am I missing? And can you ask your pastor that? When you identify a lack, when you identify something that's not at work in you, are you able to go to your pastor and say, why didn't it work? What am I missing here? Read for me Matthew 17:21.
However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.
Pastor can point out in your life things that are meant to help you. He's identifying areas of lack so that you can be helped, so that you can be blessed. The question is, when pastor brings that kind of conversation into your life and shines a little bit of light on you as a disciple, how do you react to that? I've seen men get offended, butthurt. They pout for months and years. When your pastor was simply trying to save you from pain down the road, if he didn't care about your future, he wouldn't say anything to you in the first place. Well, I hope they suffer. No. Your pastor's pointing out areas of your life so that you can be blessed, so that you don't end up like the seven sons of Sceva and you're out pioneering and you get beat down spiritually and exposed spiritually, hopefully not literally. But here's the point. This is personal. As a man of God, you have to contend. You're going to have to talk to God. God, what am I missing? What am I lacking? And here's the point. If you are missing a supernatural dimension, it's fixable. You can change those spiritual realities. It might be true. You might look at your life and say, man, I am weak on a number of different levels. But God can help you. Luke 10:17-18.
When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning.
So this is what a supernatural dimension looks like at work in real time. The disciples come to Jesus and say, there was supernatural things at work. Demons were subject to us in your name. But Jesus says, while you were praying for people, while you were having the victory, what I saw in the heavenly realm was Satan was defeated. That's what a supernatural dimension looks like. This is the result. We become supernaturally effective. And then when you reach this point, you can contend for a supernatural dimension. It's obtainable. First, identify an area of your life where you need a supernatural breakthrough. That comes from the Word of God. If my life does not match what God has declared, then I'm missing something. And then also build your faith from the Word of God. Pastor Greg has said, this is what God has said. Now, what are you going to do about it? This is what God has declared. What are you as a disciple going to do about it? Tell me three scriptures about breakthrough in money, healing, fruitfulness. It's been said converts will not grow beyond their level of revelation. And I believe also that disciples will not grow beyond their hunger for the Word of God. Thirdly, ask God for a supernatural dimension. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. This is so simple, but it's so profound. You identify the area in your life, and then you ask God, God, make up the difference. God, I need breakthrough in this area. And then fourthly, do things in the kingdom of God that stretch your faith. Do things that make you feel uncomfortable. Step out in evangelism and witnessing and outreach. Step out in praying for the sick. Contend in service. God, help me to be effective. I want to bring people into church. Put yourself in situations that demand a supernatural dimension. You don't need a supernatural dimension in your life to vacuum out a van. But to get somebody healed and saved and delivered, the supernatural must be at work. One of the first men that I prayed for after my conversation with Pastor Greg, the one that I talked about at the beginning, it was kind of like right here when we had the service in this building. Pastor Juan Fifield was the Spanish pastor at the time, and he was kind of hunched over and walking down the aisle, and I simply said, "Pastor, I feel God wants me to pray for you." And incredibly humble man, very good man, he said, "Oh, wonderful, brother." He said, "Yeah, my back is in tremendous pain." So I didn't know what else to do. I went and grabbed a chair, sat him down in a chair. His foot grew out, and he said all the pain left. Well, thank God for a healing. But you know, that was for me. Praise God that Pastor Juan Fifield was healed. But that experience was actually for me. Because up until that point, after I talked to Pastor Greg, I was contending, God, I need breakthrough. God, I need to be effective in praying for the sick. I need to be effective in my finances. And down the line, I'm praying, God, give me a breakthrough. And God did that. You have an opportunity now to identify and gain a supernatural dimension. It might feel uncomfortable. The conversation might feel uncomfortable now. But if you can gain breakthrough and dominion and a supernatural dimension in your ministry today, that will save you pain down the road. So finally, what does a supernatural dimension look like once you've obtained it? How do you know if you have this supernatural dimension at work? It's not fairy pixie dust. It's not like this ethereal, I don't know if I have it, could have it, maybe not. When you witness, people get saved. They come to church. They get established in the faith. They get involved. They fall in love with Jesus. They become disciples. They want to get sent out and used in ministry. When you pray for the sick, they get healed. They become a testimony. They tell other people about what Jesus did for them. You pray for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're filled. They're set free from habits and addictions. You get dominion in finances, breakthrough in finances. You get out of debt. You're able to give liberally. God begins to bless your life. If you're still living paycheck to paycheck and it's been like that for decades, there's something wrong. Can you identify that? Can you see that? Essentially, the areas of life where you had no victory, with a supernatural dimension, now you have victory. Now you're able to break through. And I would also add to this that breakthroughs are transferable. If I have an area of breakthrough here, God, you did that here, you can do that here. Dominion is transferable. God, I have no dominion in my finances, but I have confidence when I lay hands on the sick, they'll get healed. God, I need breakthrough in my finances now. Remember, the expectation is not that you're the whole package, that you've got every area of your life sorted out. Thank God for you. For the rest of us, we still need God's help. But you can pray, God, help me gain a supernatural dimension. Amen. That's all I have. That is painful exposure. Praise God. Now we'll open it up for a time of questions this morning. Yeah.
What did you do after that conversation with Pastor Greg?
I got on my face. I began to pray. I cried out to God. I looked in the Bible areas of breakthrough and dominion that I knew I was lacking in, and I began to contend for that. That I was praying for the sick, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, dominion in finances, dominion in relationships, all across the board. But it wasn't like I had to call a church fast. Everybody fast for me and pray for me. That this was something I had to get before God and deal with. And it was uncomfortable. Because sometimes we are our best critics. We're like, yeah, we are awesome. We're doing just fine. But Pastor exposed some things. And it wasn't like he had to tell the whole church, like, Stephen's a loser, you know. It was a one-on-one. We had this coffee at Method. And he challenged me. You better lay hold of God for a supernatural dimension. He said, if I send you out like this, it means I hate you. I will not send you out like this because I don't want you to struggle and suffer. Gain a supernatural dimension now so that when you get out, you have these reference points. And so I took that to heart. It was a couple of weeks of me like contending, praying and fasting, not 2 weeks consecutive fasting. But maybe God is challenging some of you men to fast and pray, to lay hold of God personally and identify those areas where you lack. And it's like those words echoed in my brain. What are you going to do about it? Nobody got saved, or you had, you know, a limited effectiveness. What are you going to do about it? Oh, man, what a bummer. Maybe it was the barometric pressure or the lunar eclipse. Maybe that's what kept people away from 180. No, it's a supernatural dimension. And so that for me, that's what I did. It was personal. I got a hold of God. I didn't complain about my conversation I had with Pastor. I didn't go home to my wife and whine and pout like a little baby. Pastor was mean to me. I didn't do that. Sometimes some men, it's like that's your first response. So you need to be careful with that. Anyway, laid hold of God. I prayed. And then I did things that I was not comfortable with, like praying for the sick. Pastor in our church, I'm going to pray for him? The audacity. But I said, God, I've been contending. I've been praying. I believe you can do this. And sure enough, God helped me. And if he did that for me, he can do that for any man in this place. We identify those areas where we lack. God, I need a breakthrough. It's personal prayer, the word of God, contending. But we have to see it first. See it before the demons. That'll help you. Yeah, good. Good question. David?
It's kind of two parts, but you mentioned at the beginning that you need to have something supernatural, not necessarily the full package. The first part of it is you believe it's God's will for us, for men of God to have the full package. And the second part is that for everybody or just guys that are called to preach?
What does the word of God say? Well, I think that is your foundation.
Well, I looked up, one phrase came to mind. It was every good work. And there's like, it's like in seven different places in the New Testament.
Yeah.
It's talking about man of God being complete.
Yeah, God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. So for me, my prayer, my wife and I, we've been in ministry, I think something like 12 years or something. And my prayer every day is, God, I need you to make up the difference where I lack. No man has arrived to the point where it's like, oh no, I've got the full package. I am there. Pastor Mitchell in his 90s, suffering with dementia and other major health problems, still woke up in the morning and prayed and read his Bible. If anybody arrived, it was him. When we would go out, when I would go out and travel with him and we would do sermonizing, it always fascinated me as he's sitting there at the table. Here's a man with incredible amounts of wisdom, a deep well, right? And a disciple would make a comment or add something to a sermon that we were working on, and Pastor Mitchell would be like, oh, that's good. Say that again. And he'd write it on a napkin. So he was inspired by another man. Right? But for us, like Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I press on, forgetting what's behind, pressing forward to what's ahead. Right? That for every man, that's what we have to do. But it starts with identifying. So yes, I feel confident I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I feel really comfortable with that. Or I feel really confident that I can get people saved that are like seriously down in the dumps, like homeless, like radically broken. But do you have confidence that God can save a businessman? That God could save a town council member? Oh, I don't know about that. Those are hard sinners, right? You identify areas of lack in your own life and you say, God, I need you to make up the difference there. So, yeah, no man is a complete and full package and has this all encompassing, all figured out at once, right? For circumstances that you're placed in, it might require extra prayer. Like the first healing crusade I did out of the country, I needed God's help, and it was like the plane wasn't going to turn around. We're about to land, and the crusade is there, and everybody's expecting Pastor Greg to get off the plane. And it's like, nope, just me. You know, I had to, on that plane became an altar. My seat became an altar. I said, God, you've got to help me. I do not have the confidence that this thing's going to go well. And so I had to get a hold of God. So that's, I think it's case by case, and it depends on the circumstances. But different seasons of life will require different dimensions of supernatural breakthrough, depending on what you're going through. Yeah, good. Yeah, Sam.
Could giving be a way to contend? Not that you're trying to buy a supernatural dimension.
Yeah, giving by faith. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think especially when men are struggling financially, the natural tendency can be to withdraw in giving. Well, I'm doing the bare minimum, so that's because I'm already struggling financially. But it's a seed principle, right? By faith, God, I'm going to give, right? God, I'm gonna plant. God, I'm gonna obey you in spite of what hell is trying to influence me on. And over in my life personally, we've given when we have been incredibly strapped financially. But it was kind of like reactionary, like, no, devil, you're not going to win. You're not going to win this fight. We are going to win. We are going to gain breakthrough. And in giving, definitely that can be an area for sure. You can gain a dominion.
Did you have to contend for each and every area, like in finances and healing and fruitfulness, or did it just start clicking after a while?
No, I had to contend for each area. But like I was telling David, especially when you get out into ministries, you're pioneering, or you've pioneered before. It's like you face situations and problems. It's like, we didn't have these problems in Prescott. Like, everything was clicking in Prescott. Everything was working like a well-oiled machine in Prescott. But now that you're out, it's bigger demons, different demons, demons that wear dresses. And it's like, man, I gotta figure this out. You'll deal with people problems and situations that you never imagined. It's connection with your pastor and a supernatural dimension. You pray for those situations and you'll gain victory. Yeah, good. Other questions? Yeah, Steve.
I think I've asked this question like many times, but I'm probably just looking for a formula, but at the same time, maybe I can get something more. But transferring, like there's certain areas in my life I really, I can believe God for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's very easy to me, but other areas, there's maybe a stronghold or maybe a, you know, whatever, a unbelief factor.
Sure.
How, and you say it's transferable, but what, how practically do you transfer that?
The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You identify an area of your life where you lack faith. Then what does the Bible say about that area, that situation and circumstance? And, you know, it's not a formula per se, but it is a pattern in how to build your faith. David said, I fought the lion, I fought the bear. This Philistine will be like one of them. he connected his current problem. I don't think lions and bears could hold shields and swords, but he connected what he was currently going through with what God had did in the past. God, you did a miracle in my body in the past. If you could heal my body supernaturally, save me from death, surely, God, you could help me in my relationships, business, whatever the case may be. You're connecting it not with well wishes, but you're connecting it with the Word of God. Because the Word of God is supernatural. It's not just information. I think that becomes the bridge. God, this is what you said. God, this is what you're able to do. And like Daniel, sometimes it's a fight. From the moment you began to pray, your prayers were heard in heaven, and I have come because of your prayers. But you're kind of late, Gabriel, or whoever the angel was. Like, you kind of, where you been, bro? I didn't need you 30 days ago. I didn't need you now. I needed you 30 days ago, right? But there was a fight. There was, you know, he talks about the prince of Persia, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Whatever all that means. The point was, in heaven, in the supernatural realm, there was conflict. And sometimes we pray, God hears us, but sometimes we got to pray things through. It doesn't mean God doesn't want to help us. It doesn't mean that God changed his mind about supernatural breakthrough. It simply means I'm going to keep pressing in based on God's word. Yeah. Good. Any other questions this morning? Thinking. Yeah.
And the lack of authority in witnessing, what are some practical ways to just to assert that? You know?
Lack of authority in witnessing. So I think, number one, it depends on the people you're talking to. What I've seen more often than not is when you're trying to witness to a group of people, or like say a group of young people, you can have one rabid instigator in the group that wants to mock, wants to interrupt, wants to be the center of attention. But then you can identify other people that are listening. If there's a way to kind of break up the group and hone in on one person, that might be helpful. You know, the Bible talks about words of knowledge, words of wisdom. Something supernatural God can drop into your spirit, special knowledge that you would have, you just met them. You'd have no idea like who this person is or what they're going through. But God can give you a word that can kind of cut through some of that fluff. But sometimes people mock. Sometimes people, they'll kind of turn themselves into the center of the show. Not because they hate you or because they despise you or anything like that. It's because they're convicted. Dealing with that, it's not like, oh, brother, you're being a jerk because you're convicted. It's like that probably will just fan the flame a little bit more. But just having that understanding, sometimes those words can, you know, you can give a word. I'm not saying this is a formula, but for some people it's like, there's been somebody that's really hurt you in the past, somebody in authority. You know, God's not like that. God can help you, right? That can be something that's like, whoa, how did he know? That can shut, you know, whatever's happening in the conversation down pretty quick. But going into it, you have to be prayed up. God, fill me again with power. Help me to see. Help me to know. Put me in contact with people that are ready to respond to the gospel, right? Like Lydia, God opened her heart to receive the things that Paul was saying. God, put me in contact with the Lydias. Put me in contact with the Ethiopian eunuch. Put me in contact with Cornelius and his whole household. God, put me in contact with these different people, right? I don't want to spend the entire outreach arguing with somebody who has no intention of getting saved. But for us, it kind of becomes a source of pride. It's like, no, if I can get them, man, I won. It's like, no, sometimes they're not ready to receive what you have to say anyway. So you have to be willing to move along. Well, thank God we can agree to disagree. I'm going to I'm going to go tell some other people. Like, I remember on outreach one time, we were up at the apartments above the 180, and I'm talking to a guy, and like right out of the gate, he's like, yeah, I was arguing with my pastor about tithing. And I'm like, we're not talking about tithing. I don't even know who you are. And matter of fact, I'm going to take this flyer back. But obviously there was something going on in his heart. And it was one of those things like, all right, well, I'm going to move along because there's lots of stairs to climb here. So, and that's sometimes what you have to do. God, put me in contact with the people that you have prepared in advance. I want to be effective, not just in my witness, but effective with my time management. That's important too. Yeah, Ryan.
If, like Daniel, and he's praying for 21 days before he got the answer, how do you keep from getting frustrated with, you know, you've been contending for something for a while and it seems like you're doing what you should be doing but not seeing a breakthrough? How do you keep from getting frustrated with this?
Well, I think sometimes frustration comes from a place where we think we know how the universe should be run. Like, God, if you really had it all together, you would have answered me a lot sooner. There's mysteries in life. Sometimes it's yes, God is going to answer, but not right now. Oh, but God, if you really loved me, you'd give me what I want right now. God, if you really answered me right now, it'd be in your best interest. Like, God doesn't know that. Like, God's like, I had no idea. Wow. Well, I'll get right on that. I'm putting yours on the top of the pile. Like, sometimes there's mysteries, and like I'm you know, almost through Job right now, and it's like, man, he suffered a lot. There's mysteries in life. But what are the two foundations Pastor Greg's always talked about? My Heavenly Father loves me very much. And the one that we have a hard time with is, and God is smarter than I am, even if I don't think so. Right? No, God, you are smarter than me. I'm going to pray based on your word, God. This is what I'm going to contend for. This is what you have promised. So I'm going to believe you for it. And in the meantime, nevertheless, God, I'm going to still serve you. Even if it doesn't work out the way I think it should. I'm not God. I'm going to keep obeying. I'm going to keep moving in that direction. Right? That's where our confidence comes from. That frustration, give that to God. God, I'm like, you read Psalms, David, you know, that's a frustrated man. But then by the end of Psalms, it's like, God, you are good. God, you are faithful. This is how I feel right now, but God, I'm coming back to those basics. God, you care for me. I know you want good things for my life. We can have a confidence and assurance in that. Yeah, very good. Any other questions this morning? All righty. We'll stop there then. Thank you, guys. Appreciate your time.